studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We're joined, as always, by the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere, including our own Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish on our live chat. But right now, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Later tonight, we'll be talking to ESPN Wisconsin's Steve Homer True about the big win over the 49ers, 4-0, and the tough matchup with the Rams, not. We may even talk to some Brett Favre, but right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Clay Matthews.
The engine that makes this defense go.
Mike the Lion Daniels.
Making things happen that don't show up on the stat sheet.
Nick Perry.
Two sacks. Welcome to the party.
And we got the bad. We got Josh Sitton.
Two penalties and missing guys on screen passes. Come on, Josh.
Mason Crosby.
Miss.
Ty, the rookie Montgomery.
Two drops, none more brutal than the very first play of the game.
And we got the ugly. We got Don Barkley.
Donnie, buddy, we need to talk because, wow, that performance will not stand, man. It's time to give Don Barkley some help over there on the right side on obvious passing downs, but we'll talk about that a little later. Right now, Corey, how the hell are you, brother?
I am good.
You're swimming a little bit.
The Packers are 4-0.
They are. So everything else is, you know, fantastic. I mean, everything in life is just that much, just a little bit better when the Packers are undefeated, which they most certainly are after a hard-fought 17-3 victory out there in San Francisco. You know what? You know what being at the quarter tent pole of the season calls for? You know what being 4-0 calls for?
A beer.
Salud.
A Stillmank Brewery beer?
A Wisco Disco, if you will.
A Wisco Disco. So, people, you know the drill. If you're new here, check it out.
You're
here,
welcome.
And you can win a poster. Welcome. You can win a beautiful Green Bay Legends poster made by the one and only cartoon artist, Brent Schoonover, a Packer fan in his own right.
Obviously.
And all you have to do is tweet, I'm watching Packer Transplants on at sponsored by at Wisco Disco Beer. So if you're missing that on the podcast, that's fine because you can't win a poster anyway. So watch the show live. That's all I'm going to say about that.
That's how you got to win. That's how it happens.
And maybe I'll learn how to speak.
And hey, you know, a little shout out to Holly because she's not watching the show live, but she did send her regards via Twitter saying that where she was, the Secret Service didn't allow phones. So I'm going to give a shout out to Barack Obama, who's clearly probably watching.
No, he's a Bears fan.
You know, and we apologize. We're sorry that you're a Bears fan, but we forgive you.
Not to get political. That's pretty much the only thing I don't like about Obama.
But so Holly,
I love him otherwise, but
Holly,
Bears fan.
Holly, tomorrow morning when you're listening on your morning commute, salut. Thanks. Thanks so much for checking out the show.
Yeah, and drink Wisco Disco Beer. Oh, by the way, if you're at Lambeau,
mm-hmm.
you should be trying out Wisco Disco Beer.
Absolutely.
Because you can buy it at Lambeau.
You can buy it at Lambeau Field. And there was a...
You can do it. Do it.
You know, it was an empty feeling in my Twitter feed this week. A lost, lonely feeling.
Well, you can get gourmand...
Some bullshit is what you're talking about. You can get some bullshit at Levi's Stadium.
You can definitely not
get Wisco Disco.
No.
So that's what I mean. There was like an empty feeling in my Twitter feed.
You can't get Wisco Disco in New York.
There were no pictures of people with Wisco Disco.
No.
So I look forward to this Sunday with just an avalanche, a waterfall, if you will, a beer fall of photos of people with their Wisco Discos at Lambeau Field. I want to see my Twitter feed blow up with pictures of you people out there with your Wisco Discos at Lambeau Field.
Should we talk about some news?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, that's nice.
At the top of the docket, we got Brian Bulaga back at practice. But now, the last couple weeks, we've all been
treated
to the escapades of one Donald Barkley. But, you know, Bulaga was out there in a limited capacity. did some drill work in front of the media. No idea what he did when the media was dismissed. I would say, if I were a betting man, which we know I'm not because I work for a daily fantasy site and I am forbidden, but if I were a betting man, I would say that Brian Bulaga does not play on Sunday.
Come on.
I think we got one more week of holding our breath with Don Barkley.
Come on,
over there,
I want him
right
to play.
Tackle. I do too. I think all of Packer fandom would, acquiesce to your wishes there if they were able to. But
I like how people can see your monitor.
Yeah, man. It's all
they can see how cool
going
you get.
On.
All the, yeah, all right. the. What do you mean?
Real cool.
You get the multi view.
Lots. I get all sorts of view. I got media one. I got cam three. I got GFX one. I don't know what any of that means, of course, but I know it's all
like
going
that.
On.
I haven't seen that before. Sorry. Just
the thing I like
out.
About it is I know what people are seeing. Like I know when you switch, I see it. So then I know. Like now
so
I know
that.
I got to address that. But sometimes when I get heated, I'm not paying attention, and I'm doing like this. I'm addressing that camera out there,
yeah.
But you've got it on my camera, and yeah. I don't know it, which will all be fixed.
Which is why you have that monitor.
If we had some, tally lights, but yeah, I know.
This we have tally
it's
lights.
It's only 2015.
I just don't want to put them on.
I'm just
lazy.
You just like to keep me guessing.
It's literally just laziness.
I know this.
Plus, I like a certain, lo-fi feel for the show. If this show ever becomes
professional, I think mission accomplished on that one. Well done.
If this show ever becomes too professional, I'm leaving.
We can't have it.
Okay?
Can't have that.
That's no fun.
Bulaga, I'll be surprised if he's out there Sunday. Added to the injury report today, this is not, I don't like any of this. Clay Matthews with a quad injury, although he was a full participant. So that, we all know Clay and his injuries, the history there is long and distinguished, so we don't want to worry too much about it until it's something to worry about. But he was a full participant, so that's good. But then James Jones listed as a limited participant with a hamstring injury. Now, Aaron Rodgers mention both, I think, after the game and then today at his locker that James Jones was dealing with something out there. I think that's kind of what he was alluding to. And we did see that a couple times during the game where he like ran out of bounds, and I don't know if he'd really pulled up, but he certainly wasn't. He didn't look as sprightly as maybe he has in weeks prior. So, obviously, dealing with a hamstring injury, never like to see that. Those can linger. So, God help us if James can't go on Sunday, because then we're down and Devontae's not practicing. So, then we're dealing with Cobb, Montgomery,
Janice and Aberderis.
And Aberderis
hey, man.
As your four.
Wisconsin in the house.
Richard Rodgers. All right.
Wisconsin in the house.
Going to Corey's favorite subject, the practice squad. Mm. The Packers brought back Bruce Gaston. Or we got to call him Bruce Gaston just
cuz
like
that?
It's like Beauty and the Beast. You got to call him Gaston.
Who is
he's
that?
A defensive lineman.
Okay.
You'd know this if you paid attention to the preseason, but you don't.
No, I don't.
Okay. But he's back. He was released, and now he's back. And then finally, last bit of news, Aaron Rodgers. Again, if I were a betting man, I would bet on this, but I'm not allowed, so I don't.
Well, somebody in the chat said how was the $350,000 you won last week?
Oh, it was awesome. I spent it. It's all gone.
When are you going to take me out for a steak dinner?
Yeah, it'll happen. It'll happen.
Okay.
I've invested it. And when my investment
you
multiplies.
You invested it?
I invested it. And when my investment multiplies,
yeah,
I'll take
fine.
You out.
I'm ready for my steak dinner and
a trip to Lambeau.
No, I was thinking more along the lines of something more risque.
Okay, easy. Slow down. Dealing with enough on my plate as it is.
What happened? Oh.
Finally, Aaron Rodgers listed as your early Vegas favorite to win his third Most Valuable Player award. Would not surprise me. At this early stage, you got to think he's definitely in the running. He's one of the contenders.
While we're on this subject, you know that the Green Bay Packers are still not ranked number one in the power rankings. Okay?
This bugs you, doesn't it? In the power. See, you don't even know whose power rankings you're referring to.
Oh.
You're just saying the power rankings.
No. I have it here on my post-it.
Okay. You did some research. Okay.
Good. No. ESPN.
Okay. Who does that?
Number two.
Who does the ranking?
I don't care. Rob Domofsky does the ranking?
No. Who does the ranking?
I don't know.
So, but that,
some white
so,
guy.
So,
some
so,
white guy
we,
writer that nobody knows about
find
that's now
out
doing videos.
Who does the rankings so they can be the subject of your ire?
No, because this is you haven't this is a collective.
I understand that.
Okay. SI.
See, but again,
SI,
you're just
your
using
friends at SI.
My friends at SI. Do you know who does it?
Number two.
That's Chris Burke. That one I know.
His
that's
videos
Chris Burke.
Are terrible,
so
by
be
the way.
Mad at Chris Burke.
The AP.
Right.
Number two. AOL. Number two. Okay. You know who's number one?
You almost made me spit out.
Do you know who's number one?
No. The Patriots.
They that shall not be named.
Right. Okay, now we can't say Patriots. We can't say the B word. He who shall not be named, who dropped the onside kick to send us to the Super Bowl. I can't say that. And now I can't say Patriots?
No.
Yeah, whatever.
I just think that's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
They didn't even play last week.
Oh, we won
the
Super Bowl. We're number one ranking. We played all these crappy teams and beat them.
Sound like the Packers have been beaten up
on
world beaters.
No, there is a conspiracy, and it is a national conspiracy on large markets, and we know that this exists. And I am holding the banner for the small market teams.
You do it, buddy. I'm just saying, okay.
I am forever holding the banner for small market.
You know, once Dr. Z stopped doing the power rankings for Sports Illustrated, which were the only power rankings I ever paid attention to. But once Dr. Z stopped, I stopped. Like, I'm done.
Everybody on the chat's like, who cares about power rankings?
Exactly. Thank you, people on the chat.
It's about national recognition. How can you have the number one, okay, and some people are saying number one of all time historically, okay? This is starting to get knocked around here.
What's that?
Quarterback.
Right, right.
And you don't have the number one team. And look at our defensive line. Look at the sacks that we've
had. I hear you, dude. I know.
Look at what we're doing with rookies. Ty Montgomery.
I know.
Demarius Randall.
I hear you.
Like, look at what other teams have rookies that are playing at that level?
I know. I hear you, dude.
It's not happening.
Word
so up. Everybody that's injured starts coming back.
Domination. The funny part about that is the Patriots didn't even play this week. So how are they still number one?
Why are you saying their name?
Because that's what they're called. Good Lord. Oh, my God. Okay, can we move on to the offense?
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about Mr. Barkley. Let's talk about Don Barkley. All right? Let's get this out in the open. All right? Don played, okay week one. I wouldn't say it was great, but it was serviceable. Week two against Seattle, he had his issues. He had his issues, but still, okay, survivable. You can deal with it. You can live with it. Obviously, the following week, Monday Night Football, Kansas City Chiefs are in the house. Okay, some problems. Premier edge rushers, I'll grant you. But some problems. All right, well, all right. We're going to get that cleaned up, maybe. You go out to San Francisco, and we got Lynch, who is a fine defensive player and probably is going to have a great year. So don't get me wrong. But this isn't like, Von Miller he was going against.
No.
And holy smokes, was it a shite show. From beginning to end on every single obvious passing down. Now, here's the thing. We are already to that spot where it's clear. It doesn't matter if it's Mike McCarthy. It doesn't matter if it's Tom Clements. It doesn't matter who's calling the plays. We're not giving him help. There's very limited to no help for Don Barkley. And you're just asking for trouble.
Well, why is that,
though? Asking for trouble on third and seven or more. Unless it's a slant, unless it's a screen, unless it's something where Aaron's going to get the ball out of his hands quickly, you're just asking for trouble.
But why isn't Clemens thinking like that?
Well, here's the thing. Now, I'm sure there are checks to get him help, and I'm also sure that Aaron's not going to them. I'm sure there's a check that brings Richard Rodgers in and says, check XYZ, whatever, means he's got to go over there and help him. I have little doubt, though, that Aaron's not going to those checks. If you go back to the year where they started, where they had a ton of sacks early on, Kuhn was getting beat in the backfield, Tauscher was getting beat in the backfield, blah, 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 blah. And there was this great controversy about, they needed more protection. And Aaron's quote then, and I have no doubt he has not changed his mind on this, was, I'm better served with more people out in the route than I am with them in the backfield trying to block. That was his thinking then, and I have little doubt that's his thinking now.
Yeah, but you could see a couple plays where
more than a couple.
He drops back. He has no time. If you have no time,
there was the third down at the end of the half that ended in a sack that pushed the field goal back, which then Mason Crosby missed. That third down, I mean, it looks like Lynch almost decapitates Rodgers. Like, he gets around Barkley in roughly 3 seconds and then comes flying in from the side and grabs Aaron around the neck and throws him down. I mean, you're just living dangerously. And I don't like it. That's it. I mean, and Barkley has been bad, obviously. Bakhtiari, he's been up and down as well. it hasn't been all sun and roses over there on the left side either.
Yeah, but there's something about the offense. And the first, I said this on Twitter, there's something, there's this relentlessness to the offense in general.
Right.
And like, you knew that no matter what on that first drive, they were going to score.
Yep, I totally hear that. And it was an epic drive.
You could feel it.
That was an epic drive.
Because there were so many things that went against them, and then it just, you can see this, like, there's like this team resolve on the offense. And that third down, I mean, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It completely went for them. But you just felt like no matter what was going to happen, they were going to score. And then once they did, it's like, it's over. It's almost, it really is. It really is. If they score a touchdown on their first drive,
not always, but
we're starting to see the resurgence of a Packers defense that we have not seen in a very long time.
I
agree. When is the last time that you've seen the defensive line
this
good?
A revelation, I'm telling you.
And I know we're not there yet, so
we're not there. We're not
there. Let's
move
to the next thing.
Okay, a lot's being made this week about the lack of the deep ball. I think Domofsky wrote about it. Silverstein wrote about it. A couple other people touched on it. And it's interesting to me. Obviously, we all saw the shot. Oh, but speaking of early on in the game, I hope you were proud of me. I barely tweeted in the first quarter.
You didn't tweet at all.
That was an homage to you. Because you said don't tweet
early.
Oh,
I thought you just weren't tweeting.
No, I was just watching the game.
Because I was actually looking for your tweets. There was a point in like the second quarter where I was like,
I just wasn't tweeting a lot early in the game because it was an homage to you and your rant about people tweeting too much and making grand proclamations in the first quarter.
I mean, it's okay to tweet, but you should be tweeting positive things. I'm just saying that the first quarter is about positivity.
I agree. But yes, okay, so there's been a lot made about the deep ball or lack thereof. And obviously Montgomery drops that one on the opening play. It's disappointing. It's nice to see them take a shot. Nice to see him call a shot play. And that freaking fake that Rodgers puts on there in that first play is amazing. It's so well done. He's got so much space to operate there on the boot. But, so Silverstein wrote something in particular that I kind of, not take issue with, I will quibble with. Where he was writing, and you can tell, when you read those articles, and then you go back and listen to the media availabilities, and you listen to who asks the questions, you can tell who's writing what.
Yeah.
You know, where am I trying to lead this, and what kind of answers am I trying to get, and blah, 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 blah. So Tom's piece yesterday in the Journal Sentinel was about the lack of a deep ball and the need to develop someone to go get it, and then, you know, Aaron was asked about it again today at his locker, and Tom kind of threw this in there in the middle of the article about, like, if they don't develop a deep ball or a deep passing game, they probably aren't going to the Super Bowl. And I just, you know, I take major issue with that when you look at this team called the New England Patriots, who Corey doesn't want to talk about, who just won a Super Bowl without a deep passing attack.
I was about to say, like, not having the deep ball has nothing to do with winning the Super Bowl.
I mean, I understand.
We didn't really have a deep ball in the Super Bowl we won, the last one we won.
You know, so I understand that, you know, this idea that, you know, the bombs away stuff was happening a lot last year and they were blowing people out and now it's not there this year. So, oh gosh, the offense is different. Yeah, of course it's different because it's a different year, there's different personnel, et cetera, et cetera. But this idea that they're operating kind of at a deficit because of the fact that they don't have a bunch of deep plays in their arsenal, I don't buy that. I think this is a team that's going to morph as the year goes on.
Yeah.
They will find someone, I think, that they like deep. Maybe it's Ty. Maybe it's Devontae when he gets healthy. Maybe it's Cobb. Who knows? But
well, and I personally think that watching this offense, even when it was Mike McCarthy's offense, right, in the last 3 years, he definitely, there's something to be said for Mike as a strategist.
Right.
And he definitely strategizes what offense he wants to show in the first six games.
Totally agree.
Completely.
Totally agree.
Because what happens is, like, literally, like last year, I think it was like the ninth or tenth game, and all of a sudden you see this completely
different offense. Yep.
Different formations. Yep. Well, and it's not just trickery.
No.
It looks like it's schemed and game planned out.
It's development. And it's interesting. It's so funny. I always point to, when you're talking about that, this kind of thing, where it's like offensive game planning or, you know, just the evolution of an offense throughout a season, there are things he'll do, which he'll be doing now to put on tape, that he's setting up for months later.
Yeah, totally.
Like, my favorite kind of example of that is in 2007 when they get to the NFC Championship game and they're down, their own end, and he runs a play that I swear to God, and the day I finally get to talk to him, I'm going to ask him about this, is he runs a play. It's the Favre throw to Donald Driver for 90 yards for a touchdown that I swear he'd been setting this play up all year. It was like, okay, I'm going to put these two things on tape all year long. It was like this play where I have this option or I have this option. And then all the way till the last game of the year, he throws in a third wrinkle, mm-hmm. which just threw off every key the defense had off tape study. It was something that he hadn't shown all year long, but it played off of two other plays that they ran all the time, and it set it up perfectly for that moment when he absolutely needed it. Because you remember, they came out on offense.
Yeah,
it was hard.
They
weren't
there.
Doing very well. They were down, but they were lucky to be down only two
second
field goals.
Second coldest game of the NFL
exactly.
history.
Exactly. And then, boom, he brings it out.
That's such a money play, Mike.
That's Mike to a T. It's all being – it's there's so much at play. So I totally agree. What we're witnessing is not what we're going to be seeing November, December.
And one of those plays, a lot of, is this Ty Montgomery, Randall Cobb in the backfield stuff.
Thank you.
He's going to set all that up right
hot
now.
Was that?
Then you're going to think, he's
God.
Doing X,
wow.
but he's not. He's doing Y.
What's funny is on the Ty play where he, he ran. I think it's kind of like a stretch play where he ran. He was kind of lined up as a fullback actually, and I didn't notice that Cobb was the one that was a scat out of the backfield. I thought that it was Starks when I watched it live. And then when I went back last night and I was watching it, I was like, oh, that was Cobb. They were back there together. I absolutely love that. And to your point, yeah, it's absolutely something that, yep, there's another thing the defense has to work on every week. Now that they've shown it, you know, they've got to be ready for it. It just keeps defenses on their toes. And, you know, as far as the backfield goes in general, you know, I like the split they've got going right now with Eddie Lacy and Randall Cobb. With James Starks. I understand why it's necessary, especially Lacy coming off the ankle injury. But I'm really anxious to see more and more of Lacy, especially as the weather turns.
See, I think the split works in their favor for a lot of reasons, and maybe they wait until the postseason to really. Because here's the problem.
I think it'll be before the buzz. I think it'll be like when it starts getting cold.
But to really stuff Lacy. Because, I even get worried. There's times when they do this a lot. Mm-hmm. And if you do this in Madden, you fumble the ball, by the way. But they do this where they run Lacy more than three times in a row.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It always freaks me out. and they did that with Starks, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I will say, though, how great was that final drive?
The final drive
just
was
iced
amazing.
The game.
It was amazing.
With the running game.
It
they literally pounded it down their freaking throats. All right, I just used literally.
That's
completely
something.
Wrong.
That's
I'm
something
sorry.
Mike McCarthy.
But I love
it. I think that's a Tom Clemens thing.
That was great.
That was great.
I don't know. McCarthy's done that. McCarthy did it a bunch. McCarthy's done it a bunch. He did it. I can point at countless games. I remember there's a great example of that in Minnesota 2 years ago.
Not like to run. A long time. Okay, maybe
at the end.
Okay, I agree you on an ice at the end.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
But there
Tom
have been times this season
Tom
where
yes,
Tom is sticking with the run,
I
and
agree.
McCarthy would have gone to something else.
And maybe this concert with Rodgers there. You know, maybe Rodgers is kind of not checking out as much or checking to the run more. You know, that's what's so great
it's
about
true.
This
you
offense.
Don't
you don't know.
Know.
There's
don't
so
know.
Many different
you don't know.
Kind of disparate elements.
It's true.
Switching to the defensive side of the ball, the defensive line, you mentioned it. We're going to talk to Homer about it because Homer had a great take about it on the radio the other day. The defensive line, holy cow. You know, I was count me among the skeptics this past summer about Mike McCarthy saying how deep their offensive line was, how talented it was, and how it was going to be a strength of their defense. Well, he was absolutely right. And my skepticism is proven completely wrong through four games because holy cow, they are playing out of their freaking minds.
And they're doing it somewhat without Julius Peppers.
Yeah, well, Peppers is standing up a lot at the linebacker spot.
I mean, he's a key part, but I'm just saying he's not the reason necessarily that they're getting all the pressure
Raji, freaking, Guyon was a nice addition to the mix, but even before Guyon got back in there, I mean, Pennell.
Nick Perry.
Perry outside doing great work, but just like the defense, Dayton Jones played a hell of a game in San Francisco. I was noticing a couple of times where he sets up one of these stunts where he takes up two blockers. He did it numerous times. Got off one double team to kind of help get Kaepernick before a first down marker on third down. I mean, he's the whole defensive, like everybody on the defensive line, just playing so well. And then you got, speaking of playing well, Randall, you mentioned the rookie earlier. I mean, you wouldn't even know he's a rookie.
No.
I mean, the one deep ball that got caught on him, he's got really good position. You kind of noticed his lack of speed, his lack of, like, of course, he's with Torrey Smith, so one of the faster guys in the league. So, yeah, it's understandable he's a step behind. But he's got great position. He turns his head at the right times, just a perfectly thrown ball, kind of over the outside shoulder where you can't get it. Other than that one completion, guy shut people down all day. He played really well. So, I mean, that's a great
it's
development.
It's a surprise.
It is a surprise. I
Ty
totally
Montgomery
agree.
Is a surprise. Like, absolutely. Both of them, I think, are a huge surprise this year.
I think we would have been very happy if Montgomery would just have been returning kicks and returning them well, and which he has done, but... Yeah, get his additions.
And Demaryius Randle, I think we would have been happy if he's playing in the nickel and in the dime.
Right,
and just
sparingly. Yeah. Sparingly, like a handful of snaps a game, contributing. That would have been great. You would have taken that in a heartbeat. But he's playing significant snaps and playing them well. So that's good to see. And then, you know, you kick it inside. Obviously, everyone talking about Clay Matthews for good reason. He's an amazing football player. Opposite Clay on the inside there is Mr. Nate Palmer. And I got to say, I've been a critic. I've been a naysayer, so to speak. I've called him just a guy, which I still kind of maintain he kind of is. But they're surviving with him in there, and he's playing his heart out. I will say this. He is playing his ass off for this team, and that's to be commended because he is a little overmatched athletically. He is a little overmatched by most of the guys he's playing against athletically. But, god darn, if he isn't, like, I'm just watching him, and he's out there flying around and – after week one, where I thought he looked as about as bad as he could look against the Bears, he's really kind of come on. And I'm not saying he's playing at a, you know, he's not out there going to make a Pro Bowl or anything, but he's playing his ass off. And that's great. That's what you want to see. A guy who's got maybe limited upside, but he's going to give you everything he's got, every snap he's out there. And, you know, more often than not, he's doing his job. And you can't ask for more than that. They can survive with that. Corey has nothing to say to that.
I'm just not feeling surviving and, like...
You can't have 11 All-Stars, dude.
Yeah, I want 11 All-Stars.
And I want to shine the light on guys who maybe aren't going to get a ton of pub and still are playing, you know, well. I'm not saying he's, like, setting the world on fire.
But they're just a guy.
Yeah, he's just a guy. He's playing his ass off, though. It's kind of like you and Madden. You know, you're just a guy. But you play so well. You know, you try so hard.
No, I'm terrible.
I know.
I'm worse than just a guy.
But you try so hard.
I'm worse than Rudy in Madden, okay? That's why I don't play it.
Mm-hmm. That's probably a good idea. Well, we're still a little early. We probably shouldn't call yet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He's not going to pick up?
Oh, he might.
Will he Larrabee us?
Probably. I mean, he's big time. He's a big time radio host in Wisconsin.
He gets to hang out with Wildy.
I mean, if there's, you know, if there's a...
That's kind of cool.
Kind of a, you know what they call it, entryway for global stardom. It is obviously hanging out with Wildy. I mean, we will be talking to Homer about said Wildy. Oh, don't you worry. We got all sorts of questions for Homer about his ESPN Wisconsin comrades, so to speak. It used to be Homer and Thunder, but Thunder's not there anymore, or not with him anymore. Now it's Homer and Gabe. I don't know about this Gabe character, but... Homer's dope.
Wildy went off on Lance Easley.
Did he?
Apparently.
Oh,
according
nice.
To the chat.
What's funny is I read Bob McGinn's chat today, and apparently McGinn thinks Lance Easley did a fine job on the Fail Mary.
Wait, what?
Yes, that's exactly what I said.
What happened?
Yes. Someone asked him about it. Someone asked him about Lance Easley, and he's like, well, you know, Lance Easley was right there. He was right on top of the call, and sometimes the screen doesn't capture it, and he was there and saw with his own two eyes. Of course, which I would only say. There was also another guy right there, right on top of it, who called the exact opposite call.
Wait,
Bob.
What was he on saying this?
Yeah, on his chat. On
Bob
JS
McGinn
Online.
Has lost his mind. What in the hell?
I knew you'd like that.
As soon as he gets called out by Troy Aikman on the broadcast for being a good writer.
Joe Buck is the one. Yeah.
He goes ahead and loses his damn mind.
I guess so, man. That's what happens to all the great ones.
Lance Easley is a joke.
Freaking moron. There you go.
He's a joke of a man.
I agree.
He's a broken down joke of a man.
I can't agree. Can't agree more. Thank you. Yes. I knew I could get you going, though.
He did not say
he
that.
He did. I can show you.
Bob McGinn did here, not
I'm
say
gonna,
that.
I'm going to pull it up right now. Now we're going to be late calling Homer because of this nonsense.
Yeah, I agree with Rusty on the chat. He says, Easley, Lance Easley is a pathetic senior citizen reality TV wannabe.
There you go.
I'll take that.
Wait. Okay, hold on.
It didn't happen.
Yep.
This is verbatim from Bob's chat. What poor call? I haven't... Oh, this is about Sunday. Wait. Yes, there was... Okay. I will never go along with the Packer fan / media herd and regard that as a bad call. He's talking about the Fail Mary now. Yes, there was offensive pass interference against the Seahawks, but that's never called on Hail Marys. As for the call itself, and I've maintained this many times, cameras can't always get where the naked eye can at the moment of truth.
The camera is the naked eye, Bob.
Lance Easley, hope I'm right on his name, was right on top of that play. No one else was. As a third base coach for years, I could see exactly what happened on tag plays 5 feet from me, whereas fans 25 or so yards away would have no real idea. I have no reason to doubt that he called it correctly.
Okay, let me tell you about an 86 times lens,
Bob. Yeah.
Bob, let me tell you about.
No, let me tell you all that. There's another official right there ruling the exact opposite way.
Let me tell you about $150,000 worth of glass on that lens, Bob.
Bob, bruh. All right, now we got to call him.
Now I don't feel bad about paparazziing him. I was feeling bad about that. Oh, I was feeling bad about like jumping him and freaking him out, and now I don't.
You don't have to do that. Call Homer so he can lay review us. Oh, it's a glamorous life, Corey.
Steve True / Homer, not available. Leave the info. I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Oh, man. There we go. That's strike one. Strike one. Let's try one more time. Just glad he didn't leave his number. That would have been bad.
Well, Steve True / Homer, not available. Leave the info. I'll get back.
Yeah, good thing he doesn't leave. He's like,
all right, that's two. I don't know.
The
man.
Number you have called.
I don't know. Yeah, well, that would have been like, you know, back in the day when you got a
girl's number and she gives you the number to like the barbershop or something.
All right, dude.
Like, should we DM him?
Yep, or... that's what I'm doing right now.
That it is pretty good. He's not like. You have reached 414-555-5555.
Oh, my God.
Michael, 25 more. We're not trying to kill time here. We're just trying to deliver good for the Packer fans.
That's what we do, man. Come on, man.
Should I try it again?
One more. What the hell? Why not? Let's just keep calling. Let's just bomb him.
Steve True / Homer.
Man.
I mean, he's got that off. He's like, oh, they're calling
me? They're calling. Off.
Decline.
You know what we should do?
Decline.
Okay. Now, here's the game plan. All right. We call, right? And we get that message. And then we get the beep, right? And then we just conduct the interview with the voicemail. So, like, I'll ask the question. There'll be silence. And I go, okay. All right. Well, what about XYZ? And then, like, I do the whole interview. And then we hang up. So, he's got, like, a 20-minute version of the interview from my end on his voicemail. I think that's how we got to go about this.
I think we should try again.
One more time. Let's try one more time.
Hey, this is compelling content right here.
This will be cut out of the podcast. This is live, baby. That's how we roll.
Steve True / Homer.
It's not happening.
Well, we tried. You heard us get his voicemail. What, four times? This is old school right here. This is some old
school.
Call
Rusty, call Wildy and ask him to get Homer for you. I think we should try to call Bob McGinn.
Ooh, now you're getting bold. Now you're getting bold.
Oh, man.
Bob. Read the chat today.
Bob, I got some issues with your chat today.
How you doing? I got to talk about the chat.
Hey, this is Corey Behnke. We met a couple years ago, and
you've lost your mind since.
Oh, wait. Oh, you mean giving a different number.
I mean pen and paper.
Uh-oh.
Pen and paper.
They just say it on the air.
No. That would be bad.
All right. Here we go. This is exciting.
Ryan's like, forget him. Call Wildy. Oh, Wildy doesn't love us anymore, so we can't call him.
Wildy, everyone tweet. No, don't do that.
No, don't, because every time he gets mad.
I know, because then we do it. And
everybody
like,
tweets
and
him.
He's at like some
some like very serious business thing.
It's like,
and,
guys,
I'm trying to blah 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 blah.
I was at the MacFun thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Exactly. It's always some like very earnest thing he's doing that we're interrupting.
Well, he's like the
Twitter.
Guy who you're like, all right, call.
Nah, nah. Phone's ringing, dude.
Uh oh.
Hello.
Hi, we're looking for Steve Homer True.
You got him.
Hey, it's Aaron Nagler and Corey Behnke at GZET TV. How are you?
I'm good. I don't know what happened. I wasn't getting any calls, so that's
I don't know.
I
you were going right to a voicemail with your voice on it, so I don't know, man. I don't know. But you're here, and we're live, so don't say anything rude about Jason Wilde yet.
Sounds
so
good.
How are you tonight?
Good.
Let's dive right in it. We're a quarter of the way through the season. What's your take on this team? This is a exciting team, four wins down the pike. How are you feeling about them?
I really don't know how things could go any better for the first fourth of the season. In fact, that to me, it's literally been perfect, and I would say that almost if they had lost a game. The game always depends. The season always depends on the defense. It's better for so many reasons. Aaron Rodgers, as good as he was last year, has seemed even a little bit better. But it's always about the defense and their ability to play at a level necessary to maybe win a game if Rodgers isn't perfect. And it's clear that's the case. And you have a number of young players that you would assume will get better as the season goes on.
Did you, speaking of the defense, did you expect them to perform this well? Obviously, you mentioned it's always about the defense, because it is with this team especially, in regards to the fact that every year, seemingly, we're always saying, well, if the defense can hold up their end of the bargain, and often they don't, this year so far they are. Were you expecting this?
No, I don't know how anyone could. There are surprises like, I thought B.J. Raji was done, and Jason Woolley said last year that he looked great before he got injured, and I said, well, I don't believe it. He hadn't been good for a number of years, and yet he's been that good this year. So that's one certain surprise. You didn't know that they were going to draft and be able to get a couple of it, certainly one and maybe two cornerbacks. And so, everything they've done Clay Matthews acted like he didn't like playing inside. Now he's playing inside, and I would suggest they continue to do things he doesn't like, because he seems to get even better when he's not happy. And Jayrone Elliott, you have all these. I love Joe Thomas.
Yeah.
And he hasn't really even done that much, but it's a case where you see all these young guys and I'm assuming, and anybody should, that they're going to get better, not worse. And often you'd call me up and I'd say, all right, it's good, but. Yeah, it's going to have but. There's no
right.
But. There's literally none. They've lost Jordy Nelson, but other teams have clearly lost worse players. And while they haven't been able to go deep as often, maybe there's some debate over that, but then all of a sudden Jones becomes available. And no one, every day, it becomes harder to figure out how the Raiders or why the Raiders and the Giants would decide they don't want him. Now, my theory is because he never gets open. But that only matters when you're not having Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I've never seen a guy catch
right.
so many passes when he's not open. So if you're another team and he's getting older and he's never open, you figure, we got to let him go. Well, again, it happened perfectly for the Packers just when Rodgers needed somebody else that he could depend on.
You know, I noticed on your Twitter feed, I think it was Sunday night, you said something kind of the exact same thing I said in regards to Colin Kaepernick. It turns out he wasn't the one who was owning Capers for years. It was Jim Harbaugh. I mean, I know you tweeted it, so I think you obviously clearly think that. I mean, that was kind of a revelation on Sunday, no?
Yeah, I suspect as much. I've been a huge Jim Harbaugh fan from back when he was the coach at San Diego, and they were Division III, and they were so good, they wanted to go into the National against schools that actually gave scholarships. So, but I didn't think that he made someone that bad that good. I assumed that Harbaugh made him as good as he could be, but I didn't think when Harbaugh left that he would turn into a Brahm. I don't know. It's hard to. I'm curious to hear what other quarterbacks say, because
he just looks bad to me. And there's really, I just think he's done, aside from maybe being a backup somewhere. I don't know how you can be real good if you can be this bad week after week after week. It's been 3 weeks now. The only assumption is, or alternative, is that the coaches are that terrible, and I just don't think coaches are that bad. I think Harbaugh made like a college coach decision to limit the things that he asked Kaepernick to do, almost like you do with a college quarterback, and that worked perfectly for him. Now he's being asked to run more, in many cases, like a normal pro offense, and he doesn't have that ability, which again would speak to the strength of Harbaugh, because I think he saw that or noticed that and never asked Kaepernick to do things that he couldn't do.
Getting back to the Packers, give us your defensive points allowed theory. You were talking about it on the radio the other day, and I completely buy this. Give our listeners and our viewers something along the lines of what you were talking about when it comes to the defensive points allowed.
It's not a theory of mine. I just looked it up. It's incredible. In the 14 years of Favre, the year they won the Super Bowl is the year in which their defense gave up the fewest points over the regular season. In the 1 year that they won a Super Bowl under Aaron Rodgers, it's the year in which they gave up the fewest points defensively. As far as Favre, the third fewest points were when they made the Super Bowl. Now, the 1 year that doesn't fit, and you wouldn't assume in 21 years it would all fit, 1 year when they lost to St. Louis when they threw all the interceptions, they had the second fewest points. But when you think of two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and Rodgers is already in the Hall of Fame if he stopped playing today, in 21 years, the 2 years that they won the Super Bowl were in each player's case the year that the defense gave up the fewest points. Hmm. It wouldn't, as my partner Gabe said, well, look at last year. You know, they could have. Well, they could have. But that's what's amazing. In 21 years, you don't have the exception where they kind of stole it and got lucky or the defense wasn't that good. Their defense, when they won with Favre, was literally as good, if not better, than the offense that year. And in 2010, they were fantastic. And they really haven't been, you know, anywhere near that level since. The next year, the next best year for the defense was 2009, and I think you can probably tie that to the presence of Charles Woodson.
Absolutely.
But again, you know, I could argue that they got screwed in the playoffs in that game and should have continued on. But it, and I want to go look at Peyton Manning, but you would think that how great they are offensively and have been, that could have carried the team at least 1 year in 21 years. No, and 2011 is the perfect example.
Yes, absolutely.
One of the great offenses ever. And again, well, maybe this year they can do it. No, they blew it.
You know, you're talking a long span there, 21 years between Favre and Rodgers, and obviously we're all spoiled to go from one to the other. We're also spoiled because we have so much great coverage of the Packers. You mentioned your colleague, Jason Wilde. I've got a question for you in regards to Aaron Rodgers and Jason Wilde. We know they don't do the radio show anymore, but who is more sensitive, Aaron Rodgers or Jason Wilde?
Wow,
both are famous. Both are famous for their sensitivity. Who is more sensitive?
Well, I can't really answer because I really don't know Aaron Rodgers anymore. I mean, I did things with him, but it's been so long, and things have happened that just don't make sense to me in terms of the person that I thought I knew. So I don't know. You know, they say this stuff about him caring about how tall people said he is, and I just think that's garbage. That's not the person I knew. But certain things happen now that, you know, like he was always so fabulous in everything at making things so much easier. Other players couldn't do it because there was always something to work. With Aaron, it was always so simple. He made everything simple, from the radio show to different things that he was doing as far as charities. And I thought it makes it look terrible for all the other players, because why is it so easy with Rodgers and it isn't generally with the other players? Well, now it isn't easy with him either.
Hmm.
So I don't, I, I, uh, I'll give Jason the benefit of the doubt.
We kid. We love Jason.
We love Jason.
Big fans of Jason. Big Jason.
I know. I thought, so your question was, who is more sensitive?
More sensitive.
Yeah, I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I would probably agree with that assessment. And we got to ask. This because you are an authority on both these guys. You've watched both of their careers. You've already put Aaron in the Hall of Fame on this year's program. So I give it to you. You've got one game to win. Who do you take? MVP Brett Favre or MVP Aaron Rodgers?
Well, that one's easy. Which team has the better defense?
That's a good... They have the same defense.
In the playoffs, it's not even close. In the playoffs, you take Aaron Rodgers. He never turns the ball over.
Right.
And when you're playing in the playoffs and the team you're playing against is probably better, then you can't afford to make any mistakes. But that's why I've brought this up. That's what's matter. It doesn't matter how great either one of them. Neither of them have been able to even win one. They've won because of how good their defense was. And we didn't even talk about 2010, how many playoff games they won in which the defense covered the offense.
Yep.
And remember in those games, the offense couldn't close the deal.
Yep.
The defense had to close the deal.
Yep. Well, except in Atlanta, but that was kind of an anomaly.
If Rodgers can win one without a great defense, then I'll give it to him. And for the Packers, you know, they nearly won the second one back-to-back when the defense wasn't as good, but it was still certainly not the best in the league, but one of the best.
Right.
So that's an easy answer. And until Rodgers can prove otherwise, that's going to be the weirdest standard that's going to exist for these two, you know, historically good quarterbacks. Rodgers is going to be remembered as the most accurate quarterback ever, and that's why I brought it up 2 games ago. He could go a whole season without throwing an interception.
Yeah, you know, they asked him about that as locker
today. Now they asked about him. Now, I don't think I would have asked him until about 40%.
Yeah. Exactly. I thought it was way too early for that question.
Right. But I brought it up. I said, I really think he could do it. I really do. I mean, he has to get lucky, like the guy from Kansas City dropped one.
Right.
But it isn't. I want to look up the stat where it's not only how many interceptions, but how many interceptable passes he
has. You
throw. I don't know. Exactly. With Favre, every game you'd go, God, they could have picked off 8. There were like 5 passes I thought we were going to get intercepted. With Rodgers, it never happens.
Yeah.
He never throws a pass, and you go, oh, that one could have been picked off.
Do you remember, you remember when Brett was playing, and you would, especially the last kind of 4 or 5 years, how you'd kind of, your whole body would kind of tense up, and you would kind of hold your breath every single time he threw it?
Yeah.
Because it was going, when it was going off the screen.
We always thought that he threw the ball so hard that that's the only reason they didn't intercept him. Because everyone would, I would say every game be like 5 that could have been intercepted.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll buy that.
And now the other thing, I asked Don Beebe about this, which I think is the reason I can't believe why any wide receiver would ever leave Green Bay. Because I said to him, I'm convinced that Rodgers will not throw the pass in a certain situation in which he feels that the wide receiver is going to get hurt. You know, the kind of different things. And he said, yeah, that's true. He said, Brady's kind of the same way. He said, we would have our meetings, and Holmgren would give us the first 25 plays. And he said, we were praying we weren't part of it because we were going over the middle, and we were going to be one dead duck. It was part of what they did. And that's another thing that I think that has to make it great for the wide receivers. Because think of the last time he threw a pass where the wide receiver just got lit up. And
absolutely.
I can't even remember.
No.
I can't even think of one.
No. And
imagine that.
You see it every week. We saw
Seattle.
It Sunday night in Seattle. Who was it? Stafford. He laid out Megatron twice in that game.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Seattle's the best judge of that.
Yeah, no doubt with that secondary.
They're going to get somebody at some point, and it just seems like they never do because I'll always believe that he's not going to throw it when he can see a defender in a position to just tear out the wide receiver in a legal way, even a bad hit.
Absolutely. No, totally. Looking ahead to Sunday, we're talking to Steve Homer True from ESPN Wisconsin. Homer co-hosts the Homer and Gabe Show weekdays from 3 to 6 Lambeau time. Make sure you check him out on ESPN Wisconsin's various affiliates and abilities to catch their programming. Steve, looking at the Rams game, how worried are you about this defense, the Rams defensive line against, you know, to an extent, David Bakhtiari, who's had an up and down year, and especially Don Barclay? I know Bulaga practiced today, but you got to think Barclay's probably due for at least one more start. How worried are you about that pass rush slash defensive front?
Somebody asked, I don't remember how many weeks ago, the Packers' first loss, and I said it'll be against the Rams because I just figured it would be a game you wouldn't count on.
Right.
It's literally stupid. It should be against the law to pick against the Packers at home with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
Yeah.
The issue I thought with the 49ers, and I think applies to the Rams, is that they allow those guys to get by the tackles, Bakhtiari and Barclay, because if they can push him up, then Rodgers can always step forward because the three guys in the middle are just so good. Well, against the the 49ers, he couldn't step forward, so he's dead.
Yeah.
And so the biggest fear to me is that if the inside line is as good as they say,
Aaron Donald is a monster. There's no doubt
about
that.
Right. With the Rams, then I think the Packers will be aware of that. And so I'm curious to see what their game plan is because I don't think they anticipated that issue to the same degree with the 49ers, but everybody knows that's the issue. So I don't know if they chip with a...
No, we lost him.
Oh, come on. Did we really?
Yeah.
All right.
You calling him back?
Yeah, call him one more time. Just to, you know, say goodbye. We've got to say goodbye to the man as he's talking.
No.
Just death.
I think his phone died.
Oh, yeah. It happens. So that was Steve Homer True from ESPN Wisconsin.
I was like
the Homer and Gabe show.
I was like on the edge of my seat. I wanted to know what he said.
I'm all right. I'm right there with you. Well, there you go, Corey.
Hold on.
Oh, there we go.
We're going to get... I'm relentless.
You are
relentless. Hello. I don't know what happened.
I don't know, man. I blame AT&T or whoever. Anyway, I agree with you. I agree. I think they are aware of it, and I think it is definitely problematic. And I just, you know, I'm watching Don Barclay get beat off the edge on every third down where it's obvious they have to pass. And talk about holding your breath. I'm holding my breath there. It's interesting you say that you picked, you know, you said they were probably going to lose to the Rams. I was going down the schedule the other day, as I am wont to do, and this is classic. It's funny because before the season began, I thought this is a team that would lose at Detroit, at Minnesota, and probably at Denver. I've taken Detroit off that kind of playing because I think they're just a shell of the team I thought they were going to be. I definitely think they still lose at Minnesota and at Denver. And then maybe one more loss because I have this theory that inevitably in the Packers season, and it could be Sunday against the Rams for the kind of the reasons you're stating here, inevitably there's a game where Mike McCarthy and or the powers that be on the sideline screw something up and they lose a game they have no business losing because of game management. Which leads me to this question. What have you thought about McCarthy stepping away from the play calling and becoming the grand poobah game manager head coach that he's become?
Well, I have no evidence to support it, but my theory is that he just got tired of dealing with Rodgers and said, fine, you just do it. You and the other guys do it. I'm not. Because Rodgers was mad at the end of the Seattle game in the NFC.
That pissed me off.
Too conservative in the sense that McCarthy put them in alignments that limited what adjustments he could make
yes.
on the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And he basically prevented Rodgers from doing what he might have wanted to do. And I don't think it was necessarily a negative thing. It's like, fine, you just do it with him. You guys do whatever you want. Let's see how you guys do. And and I can focus on the other stuff because maybe – our defense hasn't been as good, or special teams haven't been as good. I don't think McCarthy knows what to do. I think he should take a job at Qdoba or something, and then just call in whenever he needs to. Just watch the game on TV,
right?
And just call in whenever he wants to challenge.
When there's a big decision, right?
Yeah, when he
it's clear to me he doesn't know what to do. There's nothing to do.
Yep.
If somebody screws up, then he can get mad at him a little bit. But, I mean, then so he says something to Rodgers, and Rodgers. We argued over what he said, but he clearly said the F word to some degree.
Yep.
So, like, what? I can't even talk to the quarterback, and he looks at me like, whatever. Put it in it, whatever. But if you were a tough coach, and you said, "What'd you just say?" You know, it's not something that Rodgers would want to repeat. So, what does he do? What do you do?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you know, all his time and focus were on the offense, and he was, you know, he was good at it. So I don't, and nobody said, like, you know, the defense is better because Coach Mack's been around.
Right.
Nobody said that. I mean, you could say it even if it wasn't true just to make him feel better. Yeah. But
that's probably what Capers is saying in meetings. All right, we're talking to Steve Homer True intermittently here between phone calls. Homer, you're an absolute legend for joining us. I got to get your pick for Sunday. I don't know if you traditionally hold it till Friday or what, but I'm asking you right here, right now, Wednesday night, what's your pick for Sunday?
Well, no, as I said, I'm not going to change now. I mean, I know it's a stupid pick.
All right.
It doesn't make any sense. He's so good at home. Gurley makes them better, so
yes,
we'll get to see an issue of how the Packers defend against the run. But as I said, if my advice to everyone else would just say the old man's old, he's lost it, because every home game I would take, aside from the pick, I would just take the Packers until proven wrong because he's been so incredible. You know, when you're a road team and you want to pull off the upset, inevitably, the stats all say you got to win turnovers.
Yes.
You know, you pull.
Well, and that's how they won in Arizona. They got three turnovers.
He never turned the damn. Yes, and they kept them out of the end zone.
Yeah.
That will.
Yeah.
You know, five field goals.
Yep. Yep.
And if they can do that, then they have a chance. But yeah, in order to pull off the upset, you got to get the home team to turn the ball over. Well, Rodgers never turns it over, so somebody's going to have to fumble or you fumble.
Right.
But I'm not going to change. I'll pick the Rams and take the whooping on Monday if it's deserved.
Well, I admire your stick-to-itiveness.
You got to take that Homer out of your name.
No, seriously.
It really doesn't matter. We're already discovered. The regular season is now a preseason.
See,
teams don't matter.
I'm so – wait. I'm so glad you said that because I have kind of been – dealing with this for the last month or so, this kind of feeling, and I'm sensing from that statement that you kind of agree here, doesn't it feel like now the Packers have reached the point where they're kind of like Manning and the Colts were for a stretch, where every year you knew they were going to either win the division and or get in the playoffs. The regular season, as important as it is to win week in and week out, et cetera, there's a 30,000-foot feeling that this is all perfunctory. And the whole thing just leads up to how are they going to do when the rubber meets the road in the playoffs? How do they rise to the occasion and are they victorious and get us to the Super Bowl, or do they screw it up in colossal fashion as they are wont to do?
I agree totally. That's exactly what it is. It's like Manning. And so you don't say the same thing with the Patriots because you recognize the greatness of Belichick and that he won titles even before he became a head coach. But yeah, every year it's like, okay, now we got the preseason. When the playoffs start, then we'll see. And and it's about, it's not just about Rodgers. It's about McCarthy. You have
yes.
all these groups of coaches that have all won one Super Bowl, and you know, then you have the guy with the Giants who's got two, and that seems like a total fluke. But yeah, that's what it is. This is all just. You know, do you think they could win in Seattle if they had to? Of course.
Yeah.
And I think this is another one of the things about the perfect 4 weeks. Seattle's clearly a worse team because they traded their center to get Graham at tight end. It doesn't fit, and even if Graham plays better, they're not as good a team because they don't run the ball as well because they lost one of their best offensive players. So in addition to everything else, the Packers have benefited from beating the team that owned them and knowing that that team is not as good because they made a mistake in a trade they made.
Couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. All right. You heard him.
You possibly could. Don't sell the show short. I think at some point.
You're right. It's true. All right. Well, Homer, thank you so much. Thanks for coming on the show. Never had you before. Great to have you on. I hope you'll come back.
Happy to do it.
As long as
the son's the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. When he's gone, I have no interest.
Fantastic. All right, man. Thanks a lot. Have a great night.
You bet. Bye.
Well, there you go. Took some efforting on our part, but we got there. How are you doing, Corey?
I'm good. That was good. Homer's good. It was great.
He's good stuff, man. I never catch him on the radio, but when I do, you know, I do every once a month or so.
I
love it.
I do
He's
online.
Great.
It's just because I'm
mean.
In New York and I do
I mean.
Online
yeah.
and I, you know, I try to catch Wildy and then I'll catch Homer because I catch Wildy.
Yep.
But yeah, no, he's great.
Love it. Love it.
Great on the phone.
Love it. Good stuff. Okay, you ready? Ready for this nonsense?
Yeah.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right.
This week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey?
Yes.
You're going to be someplace, not this week.
No.
But next week.
Next week.
You're going to be at Throwback Weekend.
Yes. Throwback Weekend is coming.
Apparently, not as many people as last year are going to be at Throwback Weekend.
Well, I think there's going to be as many people. This is what happens every year, right? Mm-hmm. People don't register.
Right.
But then everybody shows up and it's this huge party. So it's going to be an amazing time. It's year five. And I actually think there's going to be more people than last year. I know some people might be like, well, and actually they had a lot of signups. They had like, it's more of the fact that, you know, Wally and Kyle, they want to have a really good experience for people. They want to have the, you know, they had t-shirts, koozies. You
crazy.
Can't buy 100 t-shirts when you only have like 40 signups.
Four people sign up, right?
You know? And it wasn't four. It was like, it was 10. It was like, you know, 30 or 40 people that signed up for the different various things.
Yeah.
The problem is RSVP, you know? If you have a wedding and you don't know how many people are going
to
show up, you
Hard
know,
to plan.
You can't do the thing.
Hard
and,
to
you
plan.
Know, I actually think Saturday night's going to be awesome. It always is. Tweet up. We're going to, you know, we're in the distillery and we're in the room I like, which is like a little bit more intimate.
I was going to say, it's not the big cavernous
no,
one.
No, and that's the thing.
The Press
like,
Gazette was in the
yeah,
summer.
And like, yeah, and like Press Gazette had like 60 people, and 60 people looks like four.
Yeah, in that big room.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I don't like that big room. It's too much. And like, even if you have a lot of people, it's too loud.
I was going to say, that's not designed well.
And personally, I would love to have it at Stillmank because I felt like, you know, we had a hardcore. The problem is Stillmank's in Bellevue.
I know.
You know, it's not next to the stadium. Distillery's great. And I think it's going to be really good. And that party's always fun. It's fun to see everybody. All the beat writers come out. Like, it's
Which
a good
awesome.
Time. Yeah. No matter what. For me.
And like, there's a 4 o'clock kickoff, so you get to, like, or 3 o'clock in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So you get a little extra.
And for me,
you know,
like, Throwback Weekend for me was always like, if you look at the picture here, like, literally half the people in this picture
are
related to me. So
it's kind of like a Banky family.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, I've never, ever in the history of me going to Packer games, I've always had four tailgates to go to.
Right.
And my biggest problem is trying to get to all of them, which is an impossibility.
Nope.
So, for instance, like, I've never tailgated with my cousin Emily, who has her and all her cousins, which are on my grandfather's side. They have this bus. And I've never, and
That's
they're
awesome.
Right next to the distillery.
That is awesome.
And I've never tailgated with them.
Over.
Or like Dennis, you know, like I'm always traditionally with Dennis. So in some ways it's like, yeah, we're not going to have the tailgate, but I'm going to have a cooler. Okay, Brad Stillmank does not know this, but I know he's down because it's just Brad. Because
he's awesome.
So I am going to have a cooler. And if you find me, okay, I'm not going to tell you where I am. Okay,
it's like a Wonka ticket.
I'm not going to tell you where
Sunday
I'm
morning
be.
At Lambeau.
But if you find me, I guarantee I will give you a free Wisco Disco.
Wow!
If you can find me, I will have my cooler there, and I will have free
Wisco Disco.
Whoa. It's not all you can drink. Okay, you're gonna get one Wisco Disco.
No, wait.
It.
You got to guard against like
Wisco Disco.
Go find. You see that dude in the glasses? Go tell him that you know Cheesehead TV, like, and you'll get a free Wisco Disco. You gotta have some kind of identifying something or something. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
They gotta tweet about it or something.
I'm gonna tweet where I am.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to tweet where I am, and if you can find me, like, where's Waldo? I'm going to have my typical white cooler I bring for Throwback Weekend. I brought it every year.
I love it.
In other years, it had New Glarus.
Yeah, this
but
this
now
year,
that I
you've
love
seen the light.
Whisco. No, in the last 3 years, I've had a cooler, and it's always had Stillmank Brewing of some kind. I'm not going to guarantee you're going to get a free Wisco. You might get a free Perky Porter. You might
Bees
get a free
knees.
Bee's Knees. Yeah, you might get a free Super Kind.
I got it.
But you'll get some free beer.
All right. Nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm not pulling a wagon around with beer in it. I'm going to be in one spot.
Although that would be awesome.
And there will be a time, and I'm going to be on Twitter. I'm going to be like, okay, free beer, done.
Cut off.
Right? So, yeah, I think it's going to be a great weekend. If you're thinking about coming to Green Bay, come.
I'm thinking about coming to Green Bay.
Yeah, you always say that.
Yeah, I'm thinking
you
about it.
You say that every year.
I'm thinking about
and
it.
And you never come.
No, I'm thinking about it.
And you know what the most...
I'm
honestly,
in a contemplative stage right now.
You know
now.
What the most annoying thing about the weekend is for moi?
What's that?
Is every year I get 100 people that ask me, oh, hey, Corey, where's Aaron?
Some year.
It's like we're married.
It is kind of like we're married.
It's like, really?
You know?
It's like I can exist without Aaron.
I'm not cool enough. Like, just me?
Yeah.
You got to ask where Aaron is?
It's like, no, but you're here every year.
Now I'm going to make sure everyone asks you where I am. That's great. I like it.
I don't like it.
You ready to shut this down?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank our guest, Steve Homer True from ESPN Wisconsin, along with everyone who connected with us on the live chat. You guys really helped make this a unique fan experience, unlike anything else on the internet. Thank you so much. You guys are why we do this, why Corey and I exist here in this space for you, for Packer fans worldwide. We are and always will be devoted to Packer fans worldwide. Go Pack Go.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?